Welcome
sorry, Eric. Do you mind if I take a picture of you real quick?
I guess.
It's for my to-do list.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Smile. All right.
You didn't even have a real camera. You literally made a box with your hands.
No one had to know that, Eric. Jeez.
All right. Welcome to Press Any Button, possibly the only podcast about video games. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'll have to do some research and get back to you.
It is. It's the only one.
It's
don't even look for another one. You only need us, baby.
So I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we're talking about Tome. Tome is a photography puzzle game developed and published by Swedish independent game studios Something We Made. It was released in September 2021 for Windows, Switch, and PS5. So you play as a young photographer who must ascend a mountain to witness a phenomenon known as Tome.
Ooh.
In order to advance to new areas, you must receive stamps by doing good deeds for NPCs so you can ride the bus. Thankfully for you, most of the good deeds involve taking pictures of people.
Exactly. All right, so Eric, are you ready to learn all about Tome?
Well, yeah, let's do it. All right, Nikki.
So, all right, Eric.
Let's find out all about this game, Tome. I assume it was probably, I read in my intro that it was a independent game studio, so I assume it was a pretty small studio that made this game.
Oh, yeah. It's two guys that made the game.
Just two.
With some help from some other people and stuff, but I'll get into that.
All right, yeah.
We're going to go back to 2018. Ooh, so long ago. actually, compared to the games we've been talking about, it's like really recent game.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's not from the 80s or 90s or anything, so woo. But yeah, so it's 2018. You've got two college students. They're taking classes for video game development, and they're attending Blekinge Institute of Technology. So hopefully I said that right.
So that's not in the U.S., I'm guessing.
It's not in the U.S., it's in Sweden. So the company and everything is from Sweden.
Okay.
If you didn't notice or have a hint by playing the game, a lot of the locations that you travel to kind of, they have Swedish names and stuff like that. So
I did not notice that.
You didn't?
No.
Oh, wow. You are not observant. So anyways, these two college students, their name is Lucas Golbo and Nicholas Mickelson. So they're friends, you know, and they make the first prototype of Tome.
Okay.
Okay. And they submit it to a local game competition called Game Concept Challenge.
So that's going to be a local competition in Sweden?
Mm-hmm. And they won. So they submitted the game. And they won 50,000 SEK. So that's like the Swedish currency. And that's only about 5,000 US dollars today if you convert it.
Oh, so that's not very much.
No, that's not very much. But, you know, it's a start. You know, they're just in college. And this led them to eventually joining an incubation program and establishing their own company in order to further work on Tome.
Okay, cool.
So once they joined this incubation program, they did get some more help. They got like their own office space, like studio space, and they got like some connections from that as well.
So what is an incubation program exactly?
So an incubation program is basically a collaborative program for startup companies. They're usually physically located like in one central workspace. So I would think of maybe something like Silicon Valley or some kind of tech area where there's a lot of startup companies all in one place. Like that might be kind of like an incubation program, but it's designed to help startups in their infancy.
Okay.
So it's basically an incubation for businesses.
Okay.
Right? Like instead of eggs or whatever. So like a place to grow.
So
businesses when they're starting.
So they chose to move to kind of like a area where they could grow their business?
Yeah. Okay. Well, they basically just joined this incubation program. So they've got other businesses around that can help them. They've got the physical space, right? I think, like, there's also some other perks, like you might be able to get funding and some mentoring and training and stuff. Hmm. So essentially, like, provides them with, like, a community.
Sounds kind of
and
cool.
A space.
Yeah.
So now they have a studio and all that kind of stuff. So they're, like, really taking Toem to the next stage.
Yeah.
So Toem ended up being in development for 4 years, if you count, like, from 2018 until when it was released. And it did change direction several times. So they had 4 different versions of Toem overall. It started out as a mobile point-and-click adventure game with some puzzle elements. So that in itself is already kind of different because it's not even a mobile game.
Yeah.
It didn't even end up being a mobile game.
I'm trying to imagine it as that genre, and I'm having trouble.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds cool. I wish there was more cool games like this for mobile. But yeah so obviously didn't end up being that. Early versions of the game involved rotating bridges to form paths and drawing electricity lines in order to activate objects.
Like physically drawing?
I really don't know. It didn't go into a lot of depth in the article that I read.
Yeah, I got you.
So I'm assuming that they might have, like, already had some lines there and it was a puzzle. Like, maybe you had to figure out how to connect it or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, so, like, that was some aspects of the early version after it wasn't a mobile game anymore.
Yeah.
And then in 2019, development did hit a rocky patch, and they even had to halt production for a little while because they just didn't have the core gameplay mechanics really worked out, and they didn't really know what to do.
Yeah, so wait, so at this point it wasn't, did you even have a camera? Like, was that even a part of the game?
I'm not sure. They didn't really mention the camera part in the interview that I got this information from. So I'm not really sure when the camera actually came in.
Okay.
But it seems like 2019, early on, it just kind of stopped. Everything stopped. And I guess they had to go back into brainstorm mode and try to figure out, okay, what's our core gameplay going to be? Like, what do we really want out of this?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in late 2019, everything's back on track because they figured out the direction that they wanted to take the game, and they really wanted to emphasize playfulness. Hmm. Like, I guess before, maybe it wasn't very playful. So when they come back in 2019, that is something that they definitely want to make sure the game has. So
yeah, I can see that. It definitely feels like it has that element now.
And I think this is where it really, like, kind of gets more into the final version of what we played. So, like, it wasn't a smooth ride for this game, which, you know, you probably wouldn't expect because it's like 2 college kids, you know.
Yeah.
Just doing their best, basically.
Yeah.
And anyone, when you're starting something out new and you're young like that, you're probably going to make some mistakes and, like, it's not going to be smooth, especially if you don't have a solid, like, boss telling you what to do, you know, like.
Or, like, a solid direction you're taking your game, and you're just kind of, like, throwing stuff against the wall, seeing what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah. And so, like, about this time is when the game turned into a proper puzzle game. And although Lucas and Nicholas didn't really set out to create a puzzle game, it just kind of organically ended up becoming that.
Yeah, I can see that.
While Lucas and Nicholas were responsible for the game's development, Something We Made did collaborate with Rumsklang. That is probably a really bad pronunciation, but they collaborated with them for the game's audio, and Jamal Green and Launchable Socks for the game's original soundtracks.
Okay.
So they didn't do the music or anything like that, but they did do, like, all the art and, like, the actual game play stuff.
Okay, yeah. So they had, just being in that incubation situation, they had access to these other companies that helped them with some of the different aspects.
Actually, I think they met Jamal Green and Launchable Socks from sharing memes on Twitter, actually. Memes on Twitter. So, like, I think, like, while they were creating the game, they were, like, kind of tweeting stuff as they went along. And I read that that's actually how they made some of their connections as well.
Okay. Yeah, tweeting memes.
So that's kind of fun. Yeah.
I feel like that's good business advice.
Yeah. They also ended up partnering with an independent game publisher called Propaganda, who really helped them reach a larger audience. Like, they helped with their marketing and stuff like that. And so because of that, they were really able to become a much more popular game than what they would have been able to if it would have just been them.
Yeah, I gotcha. So they kind of helped with some of the marketing aspects.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm kind of wondering if that's like how they got on the PlayStation Plus, because that would be good marketing.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably when they took off, right? When they got on PlayStation Plus.
I don't know. I mean, that's just how I know about it. And I'm glad that I just randomly checked the games, because sometimes I forget. because I really like this game. So
yeah, it's definitely one of the better games that they've released for free.
Like, yeah, it's always like, you never know.
Yeah.
If it's a free game, it's not always like, sometimes it's free for a reason. But this one, I definitely would have still paid for it. I wouldn't have known about it, though, if it wasn't on PlayStation Plus. But, you know, now I would, if someone can't get it for free, I definitely think it's worth buying it.
Yeah, it's not very much either, right?
I don't think so. So, Eric, if you had to guess what their overall budget for this game was, throw something out there.
I'm going to say it was the $5,000 they won.
Holy crap. That would probably cover like 1 month of expenses, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, basically having no income for however many years it took them to develop this, like 2 or 3 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
That would be pretty rough.
Yeah.
So they definitely had to have something in the bank. So I'd imagine, so yeah, you at least have two people surviving.
Yeah.
Till it gets released. So I'm going to guess maybe like $200,000.
Oh, that's pretty close. Yeah, they did get financing from a company, but their total budget was $183,000.
Okay. Yeah.
US dollars. However, since they were developing this game during the major beginning of COVID actually impacted the currency conversion, and it caused the studio to struggle financially just a little bit.
That sucks.
But today they're fully recovered. You know, they made money off the game and like they paid off all their debts and everything.
That's good.
Yeah. So that leads us to Toem being released. So it was originally supposed to be released in July of 2021. Although the team had to delay the game due to slow development progress of the Switch version. So the game ended up being released September 17th, 2021. For Windows, PlayStation 5, and Nintendo Switch.
Okay, so they wanted to make sure they released them all at the same time.
I guess so, yeah. I guess the Switch version just took a little bit longer for whatever reason.
Gotcha.
All right, so that's what I've got pretty much for the history. Kind of a cool story.
Yeah,
I would have never guessed it was like two college kids that made this game. I mean, I guess they weren't in college anymore by the time it came out, but
yeah, for sure.
It's kind of neat how it started as just like a fun little thing, and then it turned into like a fully fleshed out legit game.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what these guys do in the future. Like,
me too.
What their future projects end up looking like, because this was really cool. But at the same time, I feel like there was room for more, you know, like we'll get into that.
Yeah. So, Eric, you want some Toem fun facts?
Yeah, let's do some fun facts.
All right. So, fun fact number one, Nicholas and Lucas are actually complete opposites from one another. So, this is why they make a good team.
It's like the Odd Couple or something.
Yeah. And so, like, Lucas is way more into the creative side of making the game, while Nicholas is more on the technical side. However, when they're not working on the game, their personalities kind of flip, and Nicholas is the more outgoing one, and Lucas is the more reserved one.
Huh.
So I thought that was kind of fun. It's like, I don't know.
So their work personalities are different from their at-home personalities.
Yeah, and like their social hangout personalities. Yeah,
that's funny.
It's funny how they're kind of like their opposites both ways. Like they flip. So I can definitely see why they like made a good team.
Yeah, I feel like having someone who's there to do some of the things you don't do well is pretty important when it comes to...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Especially like a small company or small business.
Yeah. So fun fact number two. Do you remember the monster spotting quest?
Yes.
Where you had to find all the monsters?
Yeah.
So
initially, I thought they were all in that first level. I'm where are all these monsters?
Oh, man, you probably spent so long.
No, I didn't.
Well, that quest was originally called Monster Fanatic. And you actually had to feed the monsters instead of hiding and using your tripod to take a photo of them.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. They were kind of drawn like they were monsters with like little cages, and you had to like throw candy in their cages. It was kind of weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that was maybe even before it was more of a photography focused game.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And that's really all the fun facts I have. There's not a ton of info out there about this game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Their website is very bare bones, like the Something We Made website.
Yeah,
it's got barely anything on it.
Yeah, this, well, it's a very new young studio, so I'm not surprised there's not that much information.
Yeah, so pretty much all the fun facts I found I had to find from like interviews that they did, because there's not, like for some of the bigger games you can search, you know, like Pac-Man fun facts, and you'll find like a whole bunch of fun facts. But
yeah,
for other games you have to get a little more creative when finding
an original IP and all that stuff. So yeah, it's not a ton of stuff out there. I totally understand. So do you want to talk about like what happens in the game? Like,
yeah, just the story.
Yeah, the general idea.
It's a pretty basic story, I would say. Not very involved. I don't know. What do you think about the story?
it's
bare
really
bones.
Really simple, but at the same time, for a game like this, you want a simple story.
Yeah.
You don't want a story to get in the way of the actual puzzle and gameplay elements.
Yeah.
But yeah, the basics is you get sent basically by your grandmother on a quest to get a picture of this event known as Toem.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a coming of age, like family tradition. She implies that she did it when she was your age. And so I would imagine like it's a family thing.
Yeah.
And to witness Toem, you have to basically climb a mountain.
Yeah, climb like the highest mountain or whatever.
And so the game is pretty much just you making your way to Toem. And you have to kind of do all these tasks and fun little puzzles along the way.
Yeah.
In order to get stamps so you can travel from one area to the next.
You get stamps by doing good deeds, and that allows you to ride the bus for free.
Yeah. And you can get stamps for doing anything from taking a picture of graffiti to like watering plants.
Yeah. The point is you're helping these NPCs somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost always involves taking a picture or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's almost always taking a picture. Not always. Sometimes you just point your camera at something and it'll kind of like load it.
Yeah, that's true.
And other times there's like some different stuff. But
everyone in this world is super impressed by the dynamic zoom on your camera.
Yeah, it's like you have the only camera in the world or
it's
something.
Like, whoa, do you have a dynamic zoom on that camera? it's pretty silly. But yeah, you go through all these crazy NPCs and then you get to the top of the mountain and take your picture.
Yeah. And then you take it back to your grandma and show her.
And she and puts it on the wall.
Yeah, and happily ever after. You live happily ever after.
Yeah.
I really liked this game. I thought it was super fun. I thought it was simple, but not too simple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It does well with what it's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They really did refine what they wanted to do with the game, and it's not like a scattershot all over the place thing. It kind of all revolves around that mechanic of taking pictures,
mm-hmm.
and making sure, you know, you're completing the NPC's request, which isn't always clear, which is kind of the puzzle element.
I
love this concept. There aren't that many games that focus purely on photography.
Yeah, no, there should be more.
Yeah, the only other ones I can think of are like the Pokemon Snap games.
Yeah, that's the only one I played.
But those are actually pretty different from this. Whereas that's kind of like an on rails type situation. This is more of an adventure. And in this case, the quality of the photographs is much less important, rather than what the elements are that you have in the picture.
Yeah. I think it must be pretty hard to create a game where the quality of a photograph matters, just because how do you write the code for that?
Yeah,
what
how
makes
do you
a
tell?
Good photograph necessarily?
Yeah, the Pokemon Snap was just like as big and centered as possible in the photograph.
Like, so it would be kind of cool to have one like that. I just have no idea how you would like write the code for that or anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like the two photography games that we played so far really aren't about how good the pictures are. It's just like what they're of.
That's one of the reasons I think a puzzle, the puzzle aspect of this game is such a great idea, because you're going around, you're solving puzzles with the pictures,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the quality of the picture having to matter.
Yeah. I think the art style for this game is really cool. It's one of the things that made me want to click on the game and like learn more about it, because it's mostly all in black and white. There's a few little spots of color here and there, but it's like mostly black and white, and it's like a cool mix of like 2D and 3D animation.
Yeah, definitely a very unique style.
Yeah, I like the way that they draw the characters. Like, everything's really fun.
Yeah, I generally liked it. I had a pro and a con about it.
Uh-oh.
I'll get to the con later.
Okay.
But yeah, for the most part, I really liked the minimalistic art style. Simple black and white cartoons, which for the most part, what it does is it really makes the subjects of the photograph stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because everything else is so simple. Like,
that's true.
It allows you to really focus in on what you need to take pictures of.
Yeah.
So one of the things I liked was how the game breaks up the levels into kind of these small little areas that you can kind of pan the camera around so you can get a good look at everything.
Yeah, which is important.
Yeah, since there's just a bunch of different like connected small little areas, you don't really have to worry about getting lost or getting overwhelmed in any spot. You know, there's nothing like too overwhelming, and that kind of adds to the chillness of the game.
Yeah, which leads to my next thing I like, which is this is a pretty like relaxing, I wouldn't even say comfy game. I mean, it's way different from like Stardew Valley or like Animal Crossing or anything, but I definitely would still categorize this as a comfy game.
I would put it in a similar category as Stardew Valley.
Yeah, because there's not like, there's no part in this game where you get anxiety or your heart rate goes up to like 200 beats per minute or whatever, like with, you know, God of War or something.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I really liked was the music. I thought
It
fit
too.
Really well with the chill vibe of the game. I feel like more games should do this sometimes, but sometimes it just turns the music off for you. And that makes it so that the tracks don't get too repetitive.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of appreciated the fact that it did that.
Yeah.
And then when it brought it back, it was always kind of like, oh, yeah, this sounds good.
You know?
So it's not repeating and playing the same tracks to death.
Yeah.
I like that fact a lot.
And then if you did want the music back on, you could just go into the menu and there was like a little tape deck and you could play music.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could actually pick what songs you wanted to hear.
Yeah,
too.
You could put it on there if you want. But like naturally, the game will just have it off sometimes, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah. The music for this game is really good.
Yeah. I agree. Anything else you liked?
Yeah. I like that this game is not that long. It's like a short and sweet little game. Like, what do you think? Maybe like 6-7 hours, something like that. So like, you can play it in like a few days if you wanted to.
Yeah. It's short. To me, it's a little bit too short, but for the most part, it does feel about right.
Yeah. I wish it was a little bit longer, but you know, like it's a small company, just two guys. And
yeah.
I liked that they did release another level, though, after the game came out.
That's definitely a big pro. The free DLC is really
nice.
I
was, like, super psyched about that because they released that right when I got done with the game. So I was like, yay, I have more to play. Like, it was so cool. And they put this really nice message in the game just thanking everybody for their support and pretty much just the new DLC was, like, a thank you to everyone that just like supported the game.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool thing because they could have easily made that like DLC you had to pay for, especially since you could get it through PS Plus. So,
yeah, for free.
Yeah, it was nice that they added that free downloadable content.
Yeah.
for sure.
I think this game is like pretty open to a wide range of ages too. Like I could see like elementary school kids playing this.
Oh yeah.
As well as I enjoyed it. So I think this is definitely something like you could let your kid play and then you could play as well. Maybe y'all can have something to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Good idea.
Because like not all the games, well, a lot of the games we play, I definitely wouldn't really want my nieces and nephews playing necessarily. What? Well, not the younger ones, you know, okay. But
well,
it's just like this one is definitely like appropriate for kids. There's nothing really adulty in it.
I guess if you don't want your kids to play any cool games, they can play this one. So one of the things I liked was the hat fashion show.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I thought that was funny. So yeah, you could pick out one of your hats for a fashion show or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the fashion show, like everyone in town will pretty much be wearing that hat.
Oh really? I didn't even notice that. That's awesome. But, so you're a trendsetter.
Yeah, I thought that was a nice kind of subtle, clever element to add.
I thought they did a good job too of like... Yeah, it's a photography game, but there's definitely more to it than just taking pictures. You know, like at one point you get a horn so you can like honk at stuff. Like
you get the water balloons.
Yeah, you get the water balloons. You get like a tripod so you can like take selfies and like do other stuff.
Yeah, to me it was interesting how they use those different elements to solve puzzles too.
Mm-hmm.
Like how you'd have to set up the tripod and then go somewhere else to let a monster come out or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty neat concept.
Yeah, they just added a bunch of extra fun stuff and I thought they did a really good job. I love all the characters too. They are all kind of like funny.
Oh yeah.
And they've all got their own little, I don't know, no two characters were the same. You know, you have like a sailor, you have a shy hippopotamus, you know, you've got Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts running around. I don't know, it's just like it doesn't really get boring. They kind of keep it like a good variety of everything.
Yeah, I like the NPCs too. They're kind of like goofy on the goofy side.
Yeah.
Any other pros?
The only other thing that I have is that I think it was just nicely balanced.
Yeah.
I think the puzzles weren't too hard where you wanted to give up or had to look anything up online. But they weren't like too easy or it's just like, okay, what's the point of me doing this, you know?
Yeah, it's like you can eventually
nicely
work,
balanced.
You can eventually work through almost all of the puzzles. Although I did have to look exactly one thing up at one point.
Yeah, because there are a few tricky things where it's like,
But that wasn't to beat the game. That was to get the achievement.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. In certain parts, they even like used the music as a part of the game. Like, there's one part where you have to play a song for a character.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was actually a pretty challenging puzzle because it was literally like the only one you solved that way.
Yeah, and there was like a bunch of music stuff in that world too. There was like that guy that was playing the harmonica and like a bunch of other stuff. So you're like, what music thing do I need here?
Yeah, I thought the harmonica guy would be more important.
Me too. But... he wasn't.
Yeah.
I took so many pictures of him. I was like, this is it. This is the music he needs. But it wasn't.
Yeah. It's funny.
So, Eric, do you have any cons about the game?
So, yeah. I was talking earlier. So, I feel like the art style for me was both a pro and a con.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I already talked about the pro element. It's really a simple style. It's great. It makes a lot of the puzzle elements stand out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they probably wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
But where it hurts the game is the fact that nothing you photograph is really going to look that mind-blowingly good, in my opinion.
Yeah, because you can't, like, there's no, like, focus, really.
Yeah.
Or anything. Everything's kind of flat.
Yeah, and, you're taking pictures of, like, you know, essentially hand-drawn cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, like 2D.
And so, yeah, you can't, there's nothing really in the background to, like, make something, like, look really brilliant. It's all really simple stuff. But at the same time, as far as the puzzle-solving aspect of the game, that is actually super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had a bunch of crazy stuff going on in the background, that draws your attention away from what you actually need to focus on.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's why it's kind of a pro and a con. So from the pure photography aspect, that kind of can take away from it a little bit.
Gotcha.
What about you? Do you have any cons?
I was trying to think of some, but I really don't, other than it just being a little short. But yeah. Like, that's, I think if that's the only con you have, I would be happy
yeah,
with that.
I mean,
if that was my game.
That's a good sign. Like, oh, yeah, I want more. Give me more of this game.
Yeah. Like, if they made a Tome 2, I'd be totally down with that.
Yeah, for sure. I did have a couple things. Yeah, I said it feels short. The extra island they gave away helps a lot, though.
Yeah.
That definitely adds a little bit more content into the game.
Yeah, that extra little island or whatever had a bunch of stuff to do on it, too. It was like,
yeah,
it was nice.
It was like a full size level. Yeah, it mm-hmm. wasn't like a short one. And then my last con is around the filters and the frames that you can add, which all seem pretty basic. Like, you know, at one point you had the ability to add filters to your photographs.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done more with that just as far as giving you options.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also been nice if you could have customized some of the settings. Like, you know, if you had like a scroll bar for how much like the setting would affect the camera, like if you were if you're doing like a pixelated filter, like you could control
like 50%
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, exactly.
They gave you these filters and these frames and stuff, but there was really only one part that I can think of where it required you to use that,
and then,
so they could have used that more for other like little puzzles and stuff.
And then just taking photographs like normally, there was nothing within the filters that made me see or that made me feel like I wanted to like use that all the time.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Oh, that was a really cool effect or something. It was mostly just like, okay, that's kind of gimmicky.
Yeah, I didn't even really use the filters that much. I wasn't that interested in them.
Yeah.
Which they have that on Pokemon Snap too. And I was like, it's fun every now and then, but
yeah,
I'm just not going to sit there and like play with it for hours. You know, it's just
true.
The filter thing's a little overdone by now anyways with like Snapchat and Instagram and everything.
That's a good point. That's pretty much all I had. Yeah.
Awesome. So do you want to talk about strategy?
Sure.
I actually have strategy for this game.
What? You wrote something?
No, I have like 5 pieces of strategy. Wow.
Super impressed.
Everyone should be impressed. It's probably the first time I've done this. No, I'm just kidding. I usually have some basic strategy.
Yeah, true. All right, so what do you got first?
Okay, so there's usually some clues given by the person that's asking you to do the task. So read what they say and like try to notice if there's any like context clues in there. A lot of times they don't just straight up ask you for what they need. You kind of have to like figure it out.
When you go and look at the clue in the pause menu, like you can get more clues that way too.
Yeah, that's true. But it's usually kind of vague. So they want to make you think.
So yeah, for me, my general like all purpose strategy was just to start photographing anything that remotely looked interesting. Before I even found out what the challenges were for the level, I would just start taking pictures of anything that looked interesting.
That's a pretty good strategy. You do eventually run out of storage space, though, if you take too many pictures.
I never ran into that problem.
I almost did on my first playthrough round. Yeah, and like with that, it's just like look at everything through the camera, too, because sometimes you can see stuff through the camera that you can't see when you're not looking at it through the camera.
Yeah, it's when you play some of these areas, it looks like you can pretty much see anything because you have like this camera that can pan around this entire like little area.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. When you get into that first person mode, like sometimes you can see stuff you couldn't see just panning around the level.
Yeah, and sometimes there's like ghosts and stuff. So like if you don't have your ghost glasses, you can see ghosts through the camera.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, there's some cosmetic items that give you like benefits, like being able to see ghosts and mm-hmm. stuff. Where yeah, you won't be able to see those ghosts unless you're wearing those that particular item. And
yeah.
It's easy to forget about it because you get so much like so many clothing options.
Yeah. Another thing I would do is anytime I got an item that you could wear, I'd just put it on right then.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Because like you're probably gonna need it. Like in that area.
Don't even think about it. Just put it on.
Yeah. Especially like there's one part where you can't even go into this other area unless you have all these winter items on. You just get like, it's really windy. So you go into like trying to go to another part of the map, but you just get blown back into, it won't let you.
Yeah.
You have to have, I think, the hiking boots, the scarf, and ski goggles, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like 3 or 4 things you had to have on to go into that one area.
Yeah, I remember that.
So yeah, like wear all the items that you get. They're actually there for a reason.
Yep. For me, my last piece of strategy is don't stress out about trying to 100% like a level before moving on to the next one, because there are some challenges that can only be completed after playing some of the later levels.
Yeah, some of the challenges are ongoing.
Yeah, so don't stress about like, oh, like I only have a couple left to finish. Like, well, sometimes you won't be able to finish those and you just have to move on.
Yeah, sometimes there's a reason you can't finish those just yet, because you have to go to the next section.
Yeah, so yeah, I recommend beating the game before going back and finishing all the challenges.
Another thing is experiment with the horn and the water balloons, like stuff like that, because you can get different reactions from different characters and different like animals and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I also read that apparently if you just stare at some of the characters long enough, they'll do stuff.
Okay.
And I didn't really stand around staring at people, so I didn't really see anything, but I thought that was kind of funny.
That could have been a fun fact.
One last thing is they have a really nice interface for the game where you can see like your list of stuff that you need to do, because at some points you have maybe like 10 different tasks going all at one time. And there's no way you're going to remember all those things. So they give you like a pretty nice like checklist within the game that you can check, and like if you forget what you're looking for,
yeah, that's generally what I would
memory.
Do too, is like just go around the entire level before I got too bogged down trying to solve the individual challenges.
Mm-hmm.
For one, that way you have a good idea of like what all the different stuff in the level is.
Yeah.
So then when you go back and start reading what the challenges are, you can be like, oh yeah, I remember that from this area.
Yeah, or I saw that.
But yeah, for me, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got as well.
All right, moving on to the future.
Yeah, do you have anything for the future?
Yeah, so Netflix bought the rights to make the film version of this.
That's funny.
No, they did not. That was a lie. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said that.
It's an ongoing joke. Photographer movie. Gotta make it happen, Netflix.
Make it happen, Netflix. Nikki can write you a brilliant script.
Right. The only thing I really saw is on... like, it's not, I don't know if it's necessarily the future, but something we made does have two more prototypes on their website. One's called Glide and one's called Door Knocker. But I couldn't really find any information about when those games might be coming out for real, or I couldn't really find any information about if they were working on any other new games or anything like that either. So
yeah,
hopefully they're working on something.
I saw those games on their website, but I wasn't sure if they were like before or after Tome.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they are there and they are prototypes. You can actually play them if you want to, but that's really all the news that I could really find about something we made.
Yeah, I got you.
So Eric, did you get that sweet, sweet cosplay trophy?
I did.
Ah, boo.
And I only had a few things left to do before I did like literally everything in the game until you deleted my save file.
Oh yeah. On accident. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. Luckily, well, I had done the challenge before you deleted it. But
yeah, that would have been bad. Well, I mean, the game doesn't take that long to play, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It was an honest mistake.
I forgive you.
I'm not really sure if I could have given you any challenge that you couldn't have completed for this one. It's not that complicated of a game, so I figured whatever I gave you, you would be able to do it.
Yeah. It was a fun game, though. So
cool.
Are you excited to hear the next game?
I'm always a little excited and a little anxious because I never know what you're going to do.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think it's going to be like a good game or a bad game, or do you have any ideas of what it might be?
Is it That's So Raven?
No. I'll give you a hint. It's on Switch. It's on our Switch. I'll say that.
Is it...
we already have it.
Oh, the game we already have.
Yeah.
Stardew Valley.
No.
Zelda, one of the Zelda games.
No. I'll give you
Mario Odyssey.
I'll give you another hint. It's another roguelike.
Oh, no. Is it Enter the Gungeon?
Close,
is that game? I think like John was playing it not that long ago,
yeah,
right?
Enter the Gungeon.
Is that it?
No.
Oh, okay. well, I don't know then.
It is Slay the Spire.
Slay the Spire.
And it is
a... Is that the card game one?
Yeah. So it's a deck builder roguelike.
Aw.
I know that's your favorite genre.
Okay. Yeah. I think I played this a little bit with you before.
Yeah, I was showing it to you. I'm surprised you couldn't guess it.
But well, I just didn't think about it. My bad.
That's fine. So do you want to hear what your challenge is?
Oh, God. What?
I feel like this isn't too bad.
Okay. We'll see about that. I'll be the judge of that.
So all you have to do is make it to Act 3 in Ascension mode.
In Ascension mode?
And that's the main mode that you play in. So yeah. So just make it to Act 3.
Act 3.
All you have to do is beat two acts. Act 1 and
How
Act 2.
How many acts are there?
Four.
Okay. I have to make it halfway through. Well, I guess
the fourth act is really just the final boss. So it's more like two-thirds of the way through the game.
There's a card boss? A boss in a card game?
Yeah, they're bosses at the end of each act. So you have to beat two bosses, actually.
Okay, well, this will be new for me.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how you do. And I've kind of, Nikki's traveling this week, and I've kind of already played this game a bunch. So.
Oh, yeah. So that's why you picked it.
Yeah, exactly.
You have played this game a lot. Sweet. Well, we'll see if I like it or not.
Yeah. Hopefully you can beat the challenge. I'm excited to see how you do.
I can do it.
I believe.
I just got to believe.
All right. Have a good one.
Have a good one, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
As always, if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and connect with us on our website. That's right. Press Any Button now has a website. So please check it out. It's pressanybutton.net. You can leave comments. You can leave reviews. You can listen to our music and all kinds of other fun stuff. All right. See you next time. Bye.